Call our special counsel meeting to order.
And
we'll start with roll call.
Skog?
Here.
Haverfield?
Here.
Levi?
Here.
Hogaboom?
Here.
Bruner?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Here.
We will, the prayer and the pledge will happen at our regular council meeting. And I don't know if any proposed amendments to the agenda, would that be correct? If not, we'll get started, and we will start. Michael, I think you are just on. Well, no, you've got some other people, but
yeah,
thank
Mayor,
you for your work.
Yes, Mayor, Council, thanks for giving us the opportunity to meet today and discuss. This is going to be a tough working meeting, I guess is probably the best way I can put it. We've, as you all know, we did our job, went out and chased down the vote information. We informed the public, and the public has spoken on the way to fund our wastewater improvements. Now comes to the work side of things. How does all this start coming back together? With me today, and really who's going to be doing most of the speaking, is our wastewater program management team. We have Matt and Shelby with Brown and Caldwell, certainly Nate is here. And then the speaker today is really John Ghilarducci, FCS Group. They've done the cost of service study, churned all these numbers over multiple times, and so I think they have a lot of the answers that you may have, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Is we're looking to get a lot of direction from council. We're going to go through the rate study methodology, the rate study results, the revenue requirement, the cost of service options, hookup fees, also water revenue. You might be asking the question, why are we talking water? Well, if you recall, we did a cost service study in 2016. Water rates will continue to increase. We'll talk about more later. So instead of bringing that back, they were effective January 1. We thought it would be disingenuous if we don't bring that up today, since we are talking about rate increases, so we bring it up today. You could pick a different effective date or a different increase. All of these are council decisions. And then the cost of the discussion on moving to monthly billing. We do have a specific action item that a couple of specific action items today. Most importantly, agenda item number 5, which is the public hearing. If the council is interested in continuing to move forward, we would ask for a resolution at the end of this for a public hearing on July 16th. And then we would like to discuss the city of Nampa has the $5 million in the available in fiscal year 18 at 2.75%. We'll talk a little bit about that on the DEQ funding on that piece. That's not the same as what we took to the bond vote, but a further discussion. With that, if there's any questions or if there's anything specific you'd like us to hit on, we certainly can lift and shift, or at least I'm obligating John to be able to lift and shift. And with that, I will turn it over to John Ghilarducci.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So we'll start with just a little bit of background on the study and then get right into the results as we go through each step. This is a schematic of the rate study. 3 main steps, and they are basically the red boxes in each of those main sections. The first one is the revenue requirement. The second one is the cost of service analysis. And the third major step is the rate design. And I'll go through each of these as we progress. What is the revenue requirement? As I mentioned, the first major step. The revenue requirement is the determination of how much money we need from rates to meet all the financial obligations of the utility. You've heard me say that before. But that's really all we're doing. We're trying to figure out how the current rates, is there enough money from the current rates to meet the obligations? If not, then we have to develop a plan for increasing those rates or cutting the costs, but in this case, increasing the rates to meet those needs. These are the main components of the revenue requirement. We look at financial policy targets, so these can be minimum fund balances. Minimum fund balances, you want to make sure that there's enough money in the bank at the end of each year to sustain the fiscal health of the utility. That feeds into that revenue requirement number. What the city's policy is on repair and replacement and doing that on an ongoing basis, that's a policy. Forecasted O&M costs, that's the operating budget. forecasted well into the future. There are rate-funded capital needs, and then there are a substantial portion of debt-financed capital. And so we look at all those different needs, the debt service and the requirements going forward, and together they make up the annual revenue needs of the utility, the revenue requirement, and that's how we then set the rates by comparing existing revenues against those needs. So you may remember when we were first public with projected rates, we were looking at rates at about 17% per year. Those rates assumed debt, SRF debt at 0.25% per year. When we got the great news that those terms would be better, 1.68%, the picture got better. So what you're looking at, of the two revenue requirement scenarios we have for you, we're calling scenario A, is now a series of 15.5% increases because the cost of debt service went down with the better terms on the debt. So you can see there's some other information in the table below here. The average monthly bill, $24.47, and how that would go up under that series of increases. The final year, a little over $67. The bottom row of this table shows 1.5% of the median household income in Nampa. That's using the 2016 median household income, which is a little over $40,000 a year. So you can see that the average bill crosses that threshold, assuming that we hold the median household income constant, which is unlikely. It will probably change. But you can see where the bill exceeds 1.5% in 2024 under these projections. Scenario B is the original published series of rate increases. That's 16.75% per year, which, because we're now front-loading a little bit more revenue than we need because we have those better debt terms, in 2025, that increase, which used to be greater than 16%, can now be 8.28% in that year. So you're basically front-loading a little bit of that cost recovery so that you don't need as great an increase in 2025 and beyond. That allows that final rate to be a little bit lower than it was in scenario A because you get the buying power of those earlier increases. And then you can see where that one crosses the median household, 1.5% of median household income in 2023 in this scenario. Again, because we're bringing forward some of those increases. So question number one, where we're hoping for some direction, is which revenue requirement strategy does the council prefer of those two?
So, Mayor and Council, this is the beginning of the work day. So, staff's recommending scenario B. Primarily, we've published that information at 16.75%. They both collect the loan as we know it today. The difficulty is there is a risk associated with that. We are assured $37 million in the SRF loan. It's an annual appropriation. If something were to change down the line, we would have to go back. If we take 15.5, we'd have to go back and say, we need more of an increase in that than we're publishing today. If we take 16.75, if we get it all the way to the end, the public gets the advantage of that lower interest rate in the last year. There's a little bit of wiggle room. In the event that something changes, you got 1.25% to make up a difference if something doesn't. If all the rates or all the revenue loan dollars don't come forward, if construction costs go up, I don't know how much that would handle, but it would handle a little bit. That's why staff makes recommendation of B. But the way the process is, you're not voting today. One thing I neglected to mention at the beginning, we're not voting today for the final answer. The final answer for any rate increase comes at a public hearing, and that's why we'll ask for a public hearing recommendation in July 16th. Today, what we're asking is, there's a lot of moving parts in this program, and so We're looking at the end of the day, we'll get all these answers. John will take them back, put them to the cost of service model, and come up with the final rates as determined. We have some good estimates about where they're going to be, but until we actually plug in your positions, I mean, you could pick some other numbers. You could say maybe we want 60. I mean, there is an infinite number of numbers between 15.5 and 16.75, depending on how many decimals you want, there's any number. Or it could be less or more. It's a council decision. And then what we'll do is we'll take that information, John will put it into his model, run that revenue requirement number. It will be presented to the Board of Appraisers. The Board of Appraisers will then make a recommendation back to council. But firstly, I have to have a starting point. There's lots of different options, and this is just, we have three or four main questions we're going to be asking today. This is the first one. So I don't know how we go about getting A, or how we go about getting A or B or C or D or whatever.
I think an important piece of this discussion, Michael, and I'd like you to speak to it, is what we currently have committed in the state revolving loan. The fact that we have 37, I don't remember the exact dollar amount, million that is currently committed, but we don't have 165 million committed. And knowing that that full commitment is, I mean, they've committed it, but there's a process to actualizing that, correct?
Correct. It's an annual appropriation, and so $37 million has been appropriated, and then it would come back on an annual basis to look at the next basis to get all the way to. Staff is committed to 165, but really there's no process that's in place today for programmatic funding. It's one of the questions that we've been asking along the way.
And I think, Michael, if you don't mind me saying so, the reason that staff is recommending scenario B is that you can always go down, but you can't go up. And I have to say, I support that recommendation that we start at 16.75% until we know that we have the funding at 1.68%. Because if we come in under, lower, and then for some reason we don't get to use the funds at 1.68, and that would be very unfortunate, and we don't anticipate that happening, but we, at a later date, we can always go down. You just don't want to have to ever go up.
And certainly, Mayor, that's our goal, is to try to continue the steady increases. That's what we've published across the board. This is the number we've published in every public meeting that we've been to. It's been at the 16.75%. When a question was asked, could it go down? We did state it could go down to 15.5 if it was assured to get guaranteed all the way through. That's the number that would work. Both of these answers essentially collect the same amount of revenue. So there's no one answer that's not going to collect the revenue and make all the payments.
And everyone's thinking. So this is, as you know, this is not a vote. This is, as Michael said, there are so many scenarios, and we've sat and talked about a lot of them. And you could run them endlessly, but in order to prepare for the Board of Appraisers meeting and the public forum, it's important that he has an idea. We don't want that to change as we get down the road. So, I mean, we need the direction of the council.
Mayor, if I may, and Michael, I'm probably getting ahead of the game, but this is something that we evaluate on an annual basis.
Mayor, Council Bruner, yeah, take an annual, every increase greater than 5% takes a public hearing, yes.
Okay, so that'd be happening on an annual basis.
Correct. In order to do another
increase. So whether we, even though we would give you some opinion here, it would be we can reevaluate and change that.
Mayor, fellow council members, I have hope that we will be able to reduce this large amount as time goes by. We're all going to work towards that. And we're all still digesting what we call the Harriman Report. And I'm hoping that that is some good news down the road. We'll discuss it another time. I'd like to just throw another number into the Board of Appraisers, an in-between number at 16%, just to have more numbers to choose from. I will look carefully at what they recommend.
So what I'm thinking, and I'll just respond, Bruce, because I'm thinking it. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into every number because you have to take your various classes and apply them across the board in quite a few ways. And so Michael and I talked about that because I've talked to him about all these different scenarios already. And it does become very, very time consuming to offer up a whole bunch of different scenarios that can be done. It's just sometimes it's hard to know what we're asking of them if we don't know what it requires of them. So we could certainly do that it's going to have a minimal impact. If you see the difference between 15.5 and 16.75, you do see the spread there, and we could go back to that slide, but you could land in the middle. But it is a tremendous amount of work to come up and figure those all the way out with accuracy.
I didn't realize that. What's the cost of putting another number in?
Well, Mayor, what we're hoping, Mayor, Councilman Scott, what we're hoping is that we, I mean, pick whatever you pick 16%, you pick 16.01, right? But what we'll do is then we'll take that information and run it through the system. We've already ran these scenarios. John's team can put another scenario together.
Well, I'm just curious what the cost is to put one more in there.
Putting on a phone.
It's less than a day of work for us. It's a dynamic model. So, yeah, a couple $1,000.
Oh.
And that's just.
Well, okay, then don't put another number in.
I would, Madam Mayor, just most. Move this along. I would be in favor, as recommended by staff, that we go with the 16.75 figure. It's my opinion.
Mayor and fellow council members, the median income of the city of Napa was, what would you say it was? Did you talk about
41,210?
And you're taking the high road. I understand that, and that's, I'm not okay with that, but that's probably the best route to take. However, we need to consider that, and I'm just a little bit hesitant, and I might agree with Mr. Scott that we should take another number, whether that makes any difference or not, or whether that lowers or not. I mean, after we're paying these people, the consultants, millions of dollars, what's another couple thousand? That's the way to look at it. Just for the community. Am I right?
You're going to get shakes on that one.
I know I am, but that's the way I, that's something I need to look at. And I don't know the numbers yet in terms of that. If it doesn't make any difference, then I'm going to go with it.
Something we might do is turn to page, wow, it's way back there and there's not a page number, but clear at the back of your packet, there's a slide that shows the combined monthly water sewer bill comparisons with other cities. And so you can see where Napa ranks with the 16.75% increase with Caldwell. So with the 16.75, would be at 28.54. Caldwell would be at 34.88. Meridian would be at 41.41. Boise would be at 35.64. And as we all know, Greenleaf is at about 86 for a monthly rate. So even with the 16.75, we're still considerably below our cities. Now I do understand and I agree with the fact that our income levels, right, are where they are, and we need to be sensitive to that.
Right.
My biggest concern is that if we come in under and we don't, when we get our funding, I'll be clear sailing. When it's confirmed that we have that interest rate down the row, I just play it safe. But that's my opinion, obviously.
Mayor, Council, I agree with playing it safe just because of you're looking at less than a dollar difference for the first few years. And it's only going to be at more than 1.5% of the median monthly household income projected for fiscal year 23, 24, 25 in one scenario, 2 years in the other. So I don't want to spend a couple more thousand on a consultant. And if you look at the cost-benefit ratio of losing potentially the funding, our people would lose out a lot more. So paying about, 60 cents more a month is a good insurance policy from having to pay a lot more, potentially. So I support what the staff put together.
So we have Randy. May I call on you, Randy?
Sure. I was going to suggest 16%, but I held off because I knew Bruce would, because that's just the way Bruce operates. I don't have a problem with the option preferred by our staff at this point, especially knowing that we're going to revisit this each year. So I would be in favor of scenario B as well, for the reasons spoken of.
And then Sandy, I'm going to call on you, just because as we end today, we need to make sure that we have that clarity as we move forward. So
I concur.
Okay. Victor, are you okay?
Yes.
Yes, I see that.
Well, I want to see what the board appraises.
You want to pay the $2,000?
I'd like to see what the board appraisers are going to do and see what their recommendations are. But I also agree that the 16.75 is probably the best road for us to take. Yes.
I appreciate Rick showing us that it's 60 cents this first year.
Yes.
Well, yeah, well, maybe less the first year, actually.
Yeah.
I was averaging kind of the average over the next 6 years. So. I mean, not pennies make dollars, but again, to protect against, it's a good insurance policy.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Mayor, Council, the difference between the first two, in just 1 year, the difference in residential is 21 cents,
yeah.
Right? 31 cents, excuse me.
Per month.
Mm-hmm. Per month.
In year one.
In year one. I mean, and then we can reevaluate that again next year. We can pick it up.
Okay.
16, if you'd like.
Does that give you the answer you need?
We're moving. No, okay. I'm here, and we're moving forward with scenario B.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so moving into the cost of service analysis, this is... if the revenue requirement is the determination of how much money we need, the cost of service analysis tells us who should be paying what to recover that amount of money among the different customer types in the city of Nampa. So it allocates the revenue requirement among the different customer classes to try and determine that equitable result. There are several steps to the cost of service shown here. The first thing we do is we go through that revenue requirement line item by line item and allocate it among the utility's main functions. And I'll show you what those functions are in a minute. That's dealing with flow, dealing with effluent strength, providing customer service. Those are the major functions. So we allocate those costs to those functions, and then we look at the different customer types, and we can tell from engineering data, planning data, and actual billing records how the different customer types use those different functions. Some require more treatment, for example, and so they will pay a greater share of those treatment-related costs. Others are more about flow. So that's how we end up with different sections of the revenue requirement for the different customer classes and develop equitable rates by allocating costs to the different customer types. So, and I hope you can read that. What's shown in the pie on the left is the allocation under the current rates. So that's the cost of service allocation among functions. For the current rates, you see flow being the biggest slice of the pie. You've got BOD, which is biochemical oxygen demand. That's treatment of organic material, suspended solids, nitrogen and phosphorus, and customer service. So that left-hand section of the pie is all about treatment. And one of the things you'll see as you move to the updated allocation is that now the treatment-related functions are more like half of the pie when they were less than half the pie on the left. So what that's showing is more of the utilities costs now surround the treatment of wastewater effluent as opposed to dealing with just flow. These are the city's existing customer types. SE2 includes single-family residences, so you can see the number of accounts. That's way over 90% of the city's customer base is single-family residential. You see down at the bottom, 9 large industrial users. They are individually monitored and charged for their flows and loadings. And then you see the other customer types there from at the top is the least strength effluent SE1, and then moving down higher strength. And again, you can see really how dominant SE2 is as a class. SE4 has the restaurants. There's a significant number of those. But otherwise, that's where most of the customers are. So using this information and what we know about flows and loadings for these different customer types. We allocate the revenue requirement. It's been first to functions and now to customer classes based on their demands for those functions. And what you see here, again, this is SE2 on the left. The major portion of the pie in both cases, what the cost of service analysis revealed is that SE2's portion of its share of cost recovery should actually go down slightly by 3% from the current to the updated cost of service. Where you see some, basically all of the other customer types go up just a tick. And in most cases, that's because they have higher strength effluent and more of the costs of this wastewater service are now committed to dealing with strength. So that's why you see industrial going up from just a little less than 10% to about 11.5%, again, of the total cost recovery. And you see other classes similarly going up, some more slightly or less slightly than others. So once we have that information, we can build rate structures based on those allocations by customer class. So a lot of numbers here. Let me walk you through. This is the existing rate structure in that second column from the left. You see the base rate, the base monthly rate, $7.60. And then all the other rates, at least for the retail customers, or non-industrial customers, are based on 100 cubic feet of water usage. So these are all volume rates. And you see the SE2 rate, 241. Industrial rates are per million gallons of flow, and then actual loadings, pounds of loadings for the different constituents in their effluent. So as you move to the full cost of service, and actually I'm going to move over to the three columns on the right because that's the 16.75% scenario B. If the city were to move from the existing rates to the full cost of service in 1 year, so that these would be in 2019, you see how the base rate goes up, and then all of the different volume rates go up, and of course it has a larger impact on industrial customers, and you can see that in the volume rates, I mean in the strength rates, not in the flow rates, how they go up from, for example, phosphorus from 15 cents a pound to about $1 a pound. That's a significant impact on some of the industrial customers. So we created a couple of different scenarios here to try and ease the impact of the cost of service shift. And in one case, we're assuming that the city phases over 2 years to that full cost of service. The city could choose to take the first step and then not implement the second step. But this assumes, this is what the first year phase-in would be if the city were to do it in 2 years. This last column on the right is if the city were to implement cost of service over 5 years. So that's basically 1/5 of the move toward cost of service in those rates. And you'll notice the real comparisons should be between full and, let's say, full and 5 year. You'll notice that the base rate, instead of being 856, would be 881. And you'll see similarly in the volume rates.
Oh, don't worry.
They're up a little higher. SE2, instead of 272, it's 279 in order for the other increases to be lower. So you'll see this, you'll see the impacts of this a little better in the sample bills. In the top row here, and again, because the two major impacted customer types are single family residential and industrial, we focused on that. Single family residential, you see typical average bill, $24.47, and then how that would change under full cost of service, $27 and change, and then under the 5 year, for example, as the other extreme, $28.34. And then for each of the different industrial customers, you know, sometimes those swings are thousands of dollars because their flows are so much higher. But you see how those sample bills are different and for your actual industrial customers. Any questions about that? I know that's a lot of information.
I do have a question. It seems like industrial customer E, C, well, C, E. I know the discrepancies don't. The percentages vary. There's quite a bit of variance. I was just curious if it was designed to benefit people within certain specs. So I understand that you kind of laid out the customer class, but it doesn't align with the descriptions here. So just help me out to try to understand this.
So the reason for that, and it is not maybe intuitive, but because the rates, these are the actual rates shown on this previous page. So if we focus on this full cost of service column, you see different rates per constituent. For example, the phosphorus rate at $1 a pound, I mentioned, and the flow rate. So what the sample bills reflect is that, and I think you mentioned customer E. Customer E has very different loadings than customer A, for example. So they might be high or low in phosphorus. So that would end up changing how their bill is impacted than a customer that was mostly just about flow and very low strength effluent. Does that make sense? So it has to do with the actual loadings of these customers, and the rates are applied by each individual constituent, and that's why the bills are different.
Do you know who in particular occupies customer C? Because I know I'm probably going to hear, we're going to hear from them.
Tell you.
Okay, that's fine.
That. Yeah, we know all of them. I don't have it with me. There's a few of them I can tell
you. Because that's like a 50% increase?
C?
Yeah, or C.
Yeah, close to that.
Or actually, no, 33% with the, if we go to the tier, it depends on the phase in.
It very much depends on the phase in and again that the individual loadings, flows and loadings.
All right, thanks.
So but one of the things, you know, that you might find interesting is the difference between the full cost of service and the five-year phase-in in that case. So C as an example, that five-year phase-in provides them quite a bit of relief. And some others, that's not necessarily the case. Did you see that? Okay. So question two is the city's preference about implementing the cost of service findings, the full implementation in year one, or 50% in year one, assuming a two-year implementation, or something like 20%, assuming a five-year phase-in.
Mayor, just a question. So you cannot, from this customer B, C, D, you can't differentiate as far as whether those are 5 or 2 year. You need to have them all either 2 year, 5 year, or full cost.
That's right.
I understand.
That's right.
Okay.
You need to treat all classes the same uniformly within the class.
Okay.
Well, and a lot of Mayor and Council, a lot of the discussion I've had with Mayor Kling is, we're making a one-year decision today, but we could make, essentially provide us some direction on the future. If you chose the five-year, for example, and only implemented 1 year, and then no further, you could do that, right? It would be a single shift. It's still a shift towards cost. What we cannot do is not move at all towards cost of service. We have the information, we need to move somewhere. How far we move and how fast we move, because if we do a cost of service study any given year, that's gonna have a slightly different answer. So I don't want to, this is the best information we know today, but I wouldn't say if we ran this in another year or 3 years, if this wouldn't shift a little bit in some direction or another, but we do have to make a move in some direction.
And we can pick again, same thing, pick another number. You can pick 10 years, you can pick 1%.
But it costs 1%. Money. So, yes. Fellow council members, you know, based on the election, which I've never seen a bond anything close to this, where 84-85% of people wanted to phase in slowly, and my preference is get it all done. But based on that vote, I would say the 5-year is what people would prefer, so I would support that.
You, Councilman Scott, you realize the 5-year phase-in is actually a little more for residential.
Well,
I'm just saying that I don't know as far as the voting, as far as 87%.
The one thing that I think it's important to remember is that the numbers that were provided to the public did not reflect any shift in cost of service. So whatever we do at whatever rate will end up in a number that's less than what was presented to the public. And if you guys usually always hear what I think, so I'm going to give you some thoughts. And my greatest concern in this cost of service analysis is the impact that we have on our business. Because the economic vitality as it relates to our industrial customers and business in this community is really important. And so what we want to do is be able to attract business so that we have jobs. And different users and different industrial customers use different levels of water. They discharge different kinds of water. But there could be other extenuating circumstances that we experience by the rate increase that we may not want in our community that would have even greater impact to our citizens because of jobs and because of industry. And so I have to say I support the 5-year phase-in. And then, Michael, can we decide next year what we do for the next year? So we could implement a 20% cost of service adjustment now, and then next year reevaluate that and determine where we go from there. I think my concern is we need to attract business, and we don't want to chase them away.
So, Mayor and Michael, so one more time, I'm repeating the clarification. So on the residence segment, we can't give the opinion of going full cost of service for them and then doing the 5-year phase-in for industry?
Well, Mayor, Councilor Boomer, these are based on all collecting 100% of the revenue requirement. If you start getting one different than the other, you won't collect all the revenue requirement. That's the tricky one. Yeah.
We're transferring the burden from one user to another user.
Each of these collects the revenue, and for all the work that John's done, all of them collect the revenue requirement. If we pick different numbers, and you could shift them all one way or the other, but to move one different than the other, then it wouldn't necessarily collect the revenue.
I'm just segmenting residents and industry, so that's, I'm still hearing the same thing. Those cannot be, it has to be one, all or one.
Mayor, so I'm a little confused because the 5-year phase-in, there's just two categories that it's higher than the 2-year phase-in. And again, as Councilman Bruner pointed out, it's more for residents in the 5-year than the 2-year. Are those correct numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then industrial customer G is the only class of all of the classes that also has an increase in the 5-year over the 2-year. Why is it that just residents and industrial customer G has to pay more per month in the 5-year than the 2-year, whereas all the other categories?
And again, that is an anomaly that relates to G's specific flows and loadings. Because so that would indicate to me that they are heavily flow and non-strength based, because that's where all the cost recovery is for industrial, or a lot of it is for industrial customers, so they would be closer to domestic strength. So I don't want
that. Gotcha. So that's why you're coming up with these numbers, because the dynamic variables are affecting those outcomes.
Exactly.
Because I gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then the answer to your other question has to do with residential, because we're not shifting the burden as quickly. It has to do with how quickly we shift the burden, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Council.
Be okay with 5-year by majority, head nod?
So say I too.
I counted at least 4 nods.
Okay. Bruce, thank you. That's what we needed. So I think we've got the nods. Are we okay? Okay, well, I see that last nod. Okay.
You and I like this?
I think we have 6 nods, don't we? Well, it's including you. Sandy, are we on?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'll say.
So you're there. So question number 2 is done.
So this is the hookup fee update. As you know, the city adopted updated hookup fees. I think it was last year or the year before. We have a court-directed approach to calculating a hookup fee. And it's shown here, net system replacement cost or value divided by basically the number of users that the system can support right now. It's a simple calculation. It does not include future costs, planned costs. We have to wait until facilities are built and usable before we can include them in the hookup fee basis. So that's what we mean by usable assets. We have phase one upgrades that are still in progress, but we don't have completed facilities to add to the hookup fee basis at this time. We're getting close. So there are options for the city about updating the hookup fees as each of these landmarks is passed, or does the city wait until the plant is completed and then update the hookup fee? And that is question number 3. Should the city be updating the hookup fees annually based on construction and perhaps a cost index to keep pace with how inflation and replacement cost goes up from year to year? Or should they be looking at it as planning cycles happen as you complete facilities and wait until they're done or some other frequency?
Madam Mayor, I'm going for the annual.
Another nod. Yes, very much want to revisit.
Another nod.
Sue.
Sorry, was that? Okay, so we just had 1, 2, 3, 4. Sandy, is that a nod for annual?
Yes.
Mandy?
Are these roll call votes?
It's a bobbing head.
It's a bobbing head. It's not a vote, but I think we just had a unanimous annual. Is that correct?
In the case where.
It's not legally binding.
In the case where there haven't been facilities added, then certainly looking at cost adjustments to adjust the replacement cost, is that part of what we're hearing to?
Madam Mayor, Phil, council members, we heard some great ideas from Lady Ann, who keeps me awake or wakes me up when she comes to speak, and included looking at a new fire station, so I'd like to look at that.
Good idea.
So that's an impact fees, but still want to get there on the impact fees.
Okay, so shifting to water rates. The water rates were reviewed as part of a study of both water rates of domestic and pressurized irrigation rates in 2015. What was recommended at that time was 3 increases of 18% per year. The city got close, 18% in the first year, and then 18% combined for the next 2 years. We've developed 2 different scenarios for consideration to do some catching up to those water rates, those recommended increases. The first one is shown here. It's a more smoothed pattern of increases. So 9%, 9%, 8, 8, 7, 7, and then down to essentially inflationary at 4.5%, maybe a little higher than that. So that's the smooth series of increases. And then we have a more front-loaded series of increases, an initial increase of 23%, and then 4.5% per year after that. Again, closer to an inflationary increase after that. So These, again, and we updated the entire analysis, looked at operating budget growth that's occurred and recalculated these forecasts. And these are the two options that will meet the water revenue requirements.
Madam Mayor, I'll stick it out again here. I would go with option A. I think the vote on the wastewater indicated there again that folks want a gradual and also want incoming residents to help pay for that where it's not all front loaded. So option A would be my nod.
I would concur with that.
And I would too.
Yes. And if you turn to the next, go to the next slide.
Yeah.
I think that's a helpful slide to see. It's kind of hard for those of you in the back, but it gives us an idea of what our domestic water rates, how they compare to the cities around us. So currently, they're at the average user would be at $14.10, is that right? A month, and with a smooth transition, it'd go to $15.36. And it still keeps us as one of the lower with the combined rates, with the combined increases, it keeps us at one of the lower in the entire Treasure Valley. And Council, thank you, because I can tell you guys all read, you all studied this weekend. Thank you. Because I think that's why you're seeing some quick, because they took the time to look at it and review this information.
We showed here the two front-loaded wastewater and water scenarios here and the two smooth here. So the direction we've gotten tonight would be in between these two, just so you got that direction.
Okay, so you got what you needed on that. You've got consensus.
We did.
Okay.
And then the impact of monthly billing. So we understand that the city is considering moving toward monthly billing for both domestic water and wastewater. That cost has been estimated at a little over $300,000. We use the city's allocation of utility billing costs in order to forecast the cost of that impact on domestic water and wastewater rates. So you see those dollar amounts here and the resulting percentage rate increases that would be needed, one-time increases in order to implement that monthly billing system and begin billing monthly. So it's about a 2% additional increase to the domestic water rates and a little less than 1% for wastewater in addition to the rates we've shown you.
I'm just going to step in here real quickly and say that I actually was surprised at the cost of this. And so before going to any public hearing, we're going to be doing further research to see what we can do to minimize that impact, because I personally don't like to see that cost. And so I'm going to be looking at ways that we can mitigate that, because whatever we can do that, we'll be looking at that and researching it, and we'll have that information before we would go to any public hearing.
Fair enough. I too was surprised at the expense of monthly billing. It seems to make more sense to get the money in faster, but that's what it costs.
So, Madam Mayor, are we investing any of that money? Do we have a short term?
Investing?
Yeah, on a monthly basis, you're getting your cash flow in quicker, but it's costing you million and so on. So, I mean, are we getting, what's the return on investment in comparison? It's just like where you go. You pay off a loan or with low interest rates, you know, you're getting more on your investment than what you are on paying off your loan. So, I mean, that's the question.
The question that you'd like to have answered. Okay. Thank you, Darby.
Also, Mayor, thank you. What are we paying now for billing every 2 months?
What is the cost of us providing the service?
Right.
I would have to defer that to either Vicki Chandler or Deborah Spiele. I don't have that answer.
Yeah, that's just a question we should probably look into as well. Comparison, see what, if it's really that much of an increase or not.
Mayor, I commend you looking for ways to mitigate against this. I just want you to know that unless there's a compelling argument that there's a financial benefit that exceeds the cost, I won't support monthly billing, especially if it requires two full-time employees at a cost of $100,000 each year to our taxpayers. So I won't support that.
I think the idea was to help out the community with their billing once a month. But if it's going to cost us more, I tend to agree with
that's my question. What's the return? Are you making money?
Right. It's going to cost the taxpayer the same and arguably more by going to monthly billing if these costs have to be recovered through some mechanism. So hopefully our citizens, I know it's convenient, pay every month. If they can pay every month, every 2 months and just know what they owe, they'll actually be saving money. So, and we have space concerns for our employees and other things like that. And just even the space concerns of hiring two more employees, I'd rather have another police officer too, instead of someone being able to accommodate monthly billing at a cost to our taxpayers that will exceed what the cost would be every 2 months. So again, that's where I'm at.
I agree with that. You start to think like a businessman, that's good.
Preacher to businessman.
I think that's a regression.
No, he's not going to become an attorney. Sorry.
Or an architect.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. Or an architect.
Architect, there you go.
You're
going to court
Mark?
Is that what you
mean?
No. Yeah. I like Mark.
But Mayor, if you can find something to make it work, the magic, work some magic on it, maybe I'll support it, but I don't see myself coming around. So
Michael, the question would be, when we move to action item, it's for when we're looking at the public hearings, how do you want to manage that? Because was this a public hearing if we were going, or is this just a decision?
Mayor and Council, this adds to the rate. The rate is what we're being presenting in the public hearing. So given the information we have, this is it. And I think when staff looked at the purpose of single month billing, is at the end of the day in year five or six, when all the rates are, can customers handle that every 2 months when it might be a couple $100 a month bill, or would they rather get $100 every month instead of a $200 bill every other month? And those are round numbers I'm throwing out here, but that's really the purpose of, is it a customer service is it better for the customers to get it every other, even though it may have more overall costs? That's a council discussion, and we'll manage however. And so the tricky part is, we can bring this as an add-on at the public hearing. I mean, that's where we're at today. It's an add-on. We can still bring it on as an add-on. If the number changes, then it'd be a different add.
So if we were to move to monthly billing and it was no additional cost to our citizens, would it be correct to say that we would not need to go to public hearing?
Well, Mayor and Council, in all cases, we'll have to go to a public hearing at the 16% or whatever. If we took monthly billing and sewer, and we said 16.75%, you'd add 0.6%. So it'd be 7.25. Yeah.
Well, but if we decided that we could move to monthly billing with no additional cost, for example, I don't think that would happen, but we would not need a public hearing, correct? Just need the input of the citizens if they'd like it.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Right. The only reason for the public hearing is that the monthly billing impacts the rate increase, and that's what we have to have out there.
Correct.
Okay. So that said, I guess that leads us, am I jumping too fast to say how do we move to the public hearing piece? Because the public hearing is directly related to our rate increase.
When I guess 30. Council, if I may. So that's why this question is where it is, right? When we bring forward a rate which we'll present to the Board of Appraisers, do we include the cost of single month billing or not? What I'm hearing is not. At least for year one, right? You'll come back in year two and year three or whatever.
Yeah, if we don't have time to research it properly, then yes, I would nod on that.
So I see four nods, five nods, six nods.
I've never seen voting like this before.
We're not voting.
So five nods to not, six nods to not, it's a not nod.
Got it.
We got it.
Mayor, I have a question on the monthly. That would apply. Does industry pay every other month, like with residential, or are we okay?
Mayor, Council, industry pays every month.
Yeah.
They're evaluated. Their waste strength is determined on a daily basis.
Yeah. Building every month. Great. Thank you.
So next steps. Well, yes. So we heard that one. So next steps on June 19th. So finding all this information before the Board of Appraisers, we have 15 days. So that's a lot of research in 15 days. A public hearing will be on July 16th. If there are any other questions on this particular cost of service stuff. So this is a lot of information. We also have an additional action item on your agenda. My half hour ahead of schedule. So we do have a resolution, I believe, to authorize the advertisement of a public hearing on Monday, July 6th, to present recommend an increase of various. So the sum of all of this stuff after the Board of Appraisers, but we need authorization to publish a public hearing on July 16th. That's the request before you today.
And so I would stand for someone to move.
So moved.
Second. I want to clarify, you said July 6th. So
16th, the second. Yeah, but I heard 6th the first time and I was about to correct him, and then he said 16th. So, to clarify, a motion to approve for the July 16th.
Mm-hmm. It's to authorize advertisement on Monday, July 16th, 2018, public hearing to present recommended increases to various wastewater, water rates, fees, and charges.
As written.
Yeah. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? If not, roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Hogaboom?
Yes.
Now, Mayor and Council, this last item on our agenda. When we NAMPA was selected to receive $5 million for a state revolving fund loan in fiscal year 18, which expires at the end of this month. That loan is a 20-year loan at 2.75% interest rates. When I brought the question up to our financial folks, Eric and John and the whole team, they're like, well, why would you take 2.75% interest if you've got 1.68% interest? We also had met with, and I think that's essentially the question. We had met with DEQ at the time of before it finalized at the 1.68. They were aware of this. They were looking at opportunities to provide some of the funding to other municipalities. The action of council really is, if you would like us to pursue that, that's an acceptable alternative. We would file the official application and secure the $5 million at that interest rate. DEQ believes they can fund all of it at 1.68%, so it's a bit of a bird in the hand kind of question. If we do nothing, we've talked to the Department of Environmental Quality. They're okay either way. They actually would expect us somewhat, and I'm speaking that we wouldn't take the 2.75, but they understand it as an offer to the city, and that's certainly something before you as whether we take it or not, and that's the question that we have before you. Do we let this expire? If we do nothing, it expires, no harm, no foul, and we move on at the 1.68%. If we take this on, it's the first $5 million that would be in effect, but we have to hustle and make sure we get that secured by the end of the month. The 1.68% starts next fiscal year, July of, because the state's on a July to June fiscal year.
Madam Mayor, Council. Michael, we don't need the funds until the next fiscal year, correct?
That's correct.
The other way.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, you're suggesting that we don't? You just wait, let the $5 million at 2.75% expire, and then...
But what are we, if we're not needing it until the next fiscal year, what purpose is it going to serve at this point in time?
Mayor, Councilor, as I described, it's a bird in the hand. It's $5 million towards $165 million. Right now we have $37 million.
Right.
So that would take you to 42.
And I realize it's not guaranteed, but we're expecting on an annual basis to continue. Hopefully, I realize the interest rate is always in question. But
correct. We with the offer that we've received in fiscal year 19, yeah,
state fiscal year 19, it is an extension of time from 20 to 30 years over this offer and a reduction in interest rate from 2 3/4 to 1.6, a better deal. But we have to deal with the current thing, right? So.
Okay, this is actually an action item that will be a roll call vote, so I would stand for a motion that we, if we chose, actually, the motion that would be one of two ways to, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but if we choose not to pursue that $5 million loan, someone could move that we do not pursue the initial $5 million loan at 2.75% and go ahead and let that expire. Would that be a sufficient motion? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make that motion as stated by the mayor.
I'll second that one.
Question. Michael, bond counsel, have they given us any direction from their perspective on whether or not we might be wishing we had pursued that $5 million at this point, knowing that the interest rates might be rising?
From the financial team, they were in the financial team meeting as well. I think it was everybody agreed that you wouldn't pursue 2 3/4 when you have 1.68.
Okay.
But there is risk at the end. Again, it's just...
Right. 5 years from now, we might be wishing we had it at that rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's why this isn't a staff decision.
Is there any further discussion?
So the motion is not to pursue the $5 million?
At 2.75%. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, unless there's further discussion, we'll roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Bruner?
Yes.
Okay. So, we are done early, which is very nice. I would like to say thank you. We've got a number of our Board of Appraiser members here. Thank you. Thank you for all of you that are here and for your interest. At this time, we have a break, so I think we need to adjourn our special council meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so I would stand for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
You guys are
in. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you.
I'm good. I actually have to.